Hi everyone, we're continuing through the book of Micah, and today we're looking at Micah chapter 4, verses 9 through 13. Now why do you cry aloud? Is there no king in you? Has your counselor perished? That pain seized you like a woman in labor. Writhe and groan, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in labor, for now you shall go out from the city and dwell in the open country. You shall go to Babylon. There you shall be rescued. There the Lord will redeem you from the hand of your enemies. Now many nations are assembled against you, saying, let her be defiled, let our eyes gaze upon Zion. But they do not know the thoughts of the Lord. They do not understand his plan, that he has gathered them as sheaves to the threshing floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make your horn iron, I will make your hoofs bronze. You shall beat in pieces many peoples and shall devote their gain to the Lord, their wealth to the Lord of the whole earth. All right, so here in Micah 4, just as a recap from last week, is this chapter is hope. It's hope in the midst of all the judgment that was about to happen to God's people. And so this is before they're in exile. This is among some of the last few kings of Judah, especially. And, you know, God spent a lot of time talking about the judgment that was about to come upon Israel, namely Judah here. But this chapter, there's hope. It's about a redemption, a time of restoration. Now here, there's a shift, though, as it feels like the focus shifts to more, instead of something that's going to happen in the future, redemption and restoration through Jesus and the work of Jesus. Here, it's kind of coming back to right now, the here and now of Micah's time. And what God says here is clearly, you shall go out from the city and you shall go to Babylon. Right? They're going to be conquered. And he talks about it as like pain of a woman in labor. Like that's going to happen. Right, the judgment is coming upon you. But what God is telling them here, and this is the hope that's in this particular part of this chapter, is that that's not the end of it. I will rescue you. Right? This is part of God's plan. That's what he's getting at here. Right? God has this plan. And what the conquerors of God's people, of Israel and Judah, they think, that they're like, hey, we're here to conquer. This is what verses 11 and 12 are pointing to. They think they're here to conquer God's people. But what's really happening is God is, in a sense, letting them be conquered for a reversal. Because what God is doing is he is gathering those nations as sheaves to the threshing floor. That's idiomatic, that's symbolic language for judgment. God is going to bring judgment through his people. It's going to come back up against them. And he says to his people that, you know, I will make you conquerors, pretty much, like iron and bronze, like symbols of strength, and they're going to conquer and devote the gain and plunder of the nations to the Lord. And so this is the hope that's given to God's people this time, is that, yeah, this is going to be hard. Right? It's going to be like the pains of childbirth, but I'm going to rescue you, and there's just going to be this greater victory that I'm going to have as you conquer your people. You conquer your conquerors, if you will. Babylon, these other nations, they don't know. They don't understand what God's plan is. But now you know, like, God is doing something so much greater. Now, what does this mean for us? Now, there's a couple things I'm going to point out. One is there's an ultimate eschatological sense, basically like an end time sense, right? Is that in the end here, God is saying, God wins. God is going to conquer. Judgment is coming, and God's people will be victorious. That's essentially the end here. Now, this does not happen when Israel goes back to the promised land after exile. Right? This doesn't happen as they kind of reestablish their identity and their nation. That doesn't happen. We know that historically they did not conquer all the other nations of the world at that time. And you know what? This has not happened yet now either. This is about like a conquering, a victory that is to come. The battle is won, but it's not fully there yet, right? And so one thing that we need to, that we can take heart in, is that God is doing something, right? God is like a victory, a great victory is coming when Jesus comes back. But for us in the here and now, like, as we think about this, it might not be the easiest to be like, oh, one day, like, God is be completely victorious and we'll see that. But in the here and now, it's important that we understand that God has a greater plan than we can understand. And now, it is hard to understand God's plan right now, right? As we look at the world around us, we're in a global pandemic. A great recession or depression is likely, or if we're not in it already, we will be likely. We're living in some of the most complicated political environments we've ever been in, racial tensions, reconciliation things, issues, systemic injustices, cancel culture, all this kind of stuff. And Christians face a lot of public judgment, actually, from the greater culture and media and social media. Like, Christians are looked down upon in many ways. We're looked down upon for our faith and beliefs. But in the here and now, we need to understand that God has a plan, that God is in control, right? We might not even understand it right now, right? We don't understand why anything is happening, but we trust that God is in control, that God is ultimately victorious, and he's going to use his people, his church, to bring that victory. So, like, we're a part of that story as well. And so as we struggle to understand the world around us, our own lives even, what comes to mind is Joseph in the book of Genesis, where, you know, he understands that, like, what you meant for evil, he says this to his brothers as they, you know, hurt him very deeply. What you meant for evil, God has meant for good. That's the kind of attitude we need to have. That's the kind of understanding that we need in the face of all the different struggles and things that are happening around us. We need to remember that in the midst of all this, God will redeem us. God will rescue us. God has a greater plan. Let's surrender our hearts. Let's surrender our lives, even our circumstances and situations. So let's remember God's sovereign plan and his goodness in our lives. Let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you that you are our rescuer, and we thank you that you're in control, God. More than ever, Lord, we need to understand. I think we all need to understand how great your power is and how in control you are, and that you have a plan, and we need to cling to that more and more. I pray for my heart, I pray for our hearts, that we will keep coming back to that truth and remember you're in control and remember the great victory that you have won and the great victory that is to come as well. Bless us, God. Help us to live in the here and now in view of that victory, in view of your power and your plan. We thank you, Lord. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.